This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roller. Favors takes it strong and one. Oh my. Watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
Back here on Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, alongside Travis Anderson, and we're set to talk some NBA basketball. The season gets real next week. And again, you'll be able to follow the Utah Jazz all season long right here on KOAL. So to get us in the mood, we're going to bring in a former All-Star from the Utah Jazz. He played 11 seasons in the league. He was a four-time leader in blocks. Also was called to the NBA All-Defensive First Team three times, and he has two Defensive Player of the Year awards to go along with his resume on top of his number 53 hanging in the rafters at Energy Solutions. He is Mark Eaton. And Mark, hey, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Oh, you're welcome, Jordan. Glad to be here.
Mark, let's first off talk about your career. I mean, you were fortunate enough to play for a franchise like the Utah Jazz, and you played for one team your entire career. That's a rarity nowadays.
Yeah, it is. But I think that I had a great opportunity when I came to the Jazz to help a team that was struggling, and we built quite a franchise together. And I think the coaching staff always appreciated what I did for the team and kept me around when I know they had opportunities to trade me from time to time.
Yeah, with that being said, what type of I'm going to say loyalty do you have towards the Utah Jazz past your playing days? How do you view the organization right now?
Well, it's always will be a part of who I am, and as a person, I look at the influence of Frank Layden and Jerry Sloan and their impact on the team and the community, and I'm just a part of that. I've continued to live in Utah since I quit playing, and it's my home. So it's just I've lived in Utah longer than I've lived anywhere else now. So I think I'm officially a Utahan.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark, I want to talk a little bit about your career before you got to the NBA because it's such an intriguing story. You transfer to UCLA. You have 2 years there. Now, the story says that you were a little bit frustrated with I don't know if it's the playing time or the role or the system or what it was with UCLA, but you actually talked with Wilt Chamberlain, and you cite Wilt, one of the greatest to ever play, for actually making a turn in your career.
Well, he did. Briefly, my story is I didn't play basketball in high school, and I was actually working as an auto mechanic, and a junior college coach convinced me to go back to junior college for a couple years, and I went to UCLA for a couple years. And things weren't going well at UCLA, and one day I was playing in the men's gym at UCLA, and they were playing the pickup games or practice games every afternoon, and all these great NBA players would be hanging out there every afternoon, hooping and playing with each other, playing against each other, and Wilt Chamberlain would routinely show up down there. He'd retired from the NBA, and he grabbed me one day because he saw me running up and down the court trying to chase all these little guards up and down the floor, and he said, "Hey, come with me. Why don't you just park your rear end underneath the basket here, take up some space, block some shots, and throw the ball up to the guard and let them go down the other end and score it." And that's something I think you could be really effective at. At that point in time, I was really struggling to find my place out on the basketball floor, what was it that I was going to be good at. And so he taught me to really know my job in terms of what I could do on the floor to help my team win. And that was play defense and block shots and get rebounds. And that was something I could do day in and day out. And the way he presented it to me was such a unique view for me that it really just centered me from a standpoint of, okay, now I understand what I need to do. I've been running around up and down this court all these years and not doing a little of this and a little of that, and he gave me that key or that tool that really defined my career because that's what I became known for as a defensive player and a shot blocker, and I ended up having a great career based on a five-minute conversation with Wilt Chamberlain.
That's a fantastic story. Did you ever have any more contact with Wilt once you got to the NBA and you became Defensive Player of the Year twice?
I saw him on occasion. He came through Salt Lake a couple of times. I ran into him in Southern California once. I mean, he was a larger-than-life human being. If you want to read an interesting story about a man, Wilt Chamberlain is a There's a book out there called Wilt, and it's a great autobiography of his career. And so occasionally I would run into him from time to time, but I don't think he realizes the impact he had on my career, or didn't at the time. I mean, you know, he had so many other things going on, but it was a special moment for me when he took that time to tell me how to do my job better.
We're here with former Utah Jazz center Mark Eaton. Mark, we've talked about 11 years for the Utah Jazz. You were selected in the fourth round, and Frank Layden kind of took that approach, can't teach size, when the Jazz selected you. Going into your first season in the NBA, did you have some major expectations, or where did you envision your career going heading into your rookie season?
When the Jazz drafted me, I was excited about that because I knew it was a team that was struggling. The year before I came, I think the team had won 25 games, and so I knew that I'd at least have a chance to play. And my expectation was just to be a good backup center. I thought I'd play, you know, a couple years here, a couple years there, and try and piece together a career in the NBA. And when Frank brought me in, he said, look, he said, you know, we're changing how we do things here. The Jazz before that had been sort of the run-and-gun offense. You know, we score 135, you score 137, we lose by 2 points. Hey, it was a lot of fun. And really turning it more to one based on defense and running on opportunity. And Frank looked to me to be the anchor of that and was willing to give me the time to get out there and spread my wings a little bit and make a few mistakes. And then by the middle of the season, a couple things happened. One, I had improved a little bit, and the Jazz were in desperate need of cash. And they traded Danny Shays to the Denver Nuggets, who was the starting center at that time, and in return received Rich Kelly and I think $300,000 to make payroll, and I got the starting job. And then everything changed, and that was like, all right, well, now I'm going to be a starting center instead of a backup center. What do I need to do differently? And I embraced that and said, okay, I'm going to continue to train harder and listen to the coaches more, and ended up being the starting center for over 10 years based on that opportunity, and had a fun ride and got to play with some extraordinary players and be part of a team that went from the doormat of the NBA to one of the upper echelon teams and built a culture and tradition that I think is still a part of Jazz culture today, some 30 years later.
You mentioned playing with some of those upper echelon players, kind of seeing this Jazz franchise evolve. I mean, you played what I like to call the golden age of the NBA, and you were fortunate enough to share the court with John Stockton and Karl Malone. We're talking arguably the greatest duo to ever step foot on the basketball court.
Yeah, and it was an extraordinary ride and fun to be a part of the early years of that, because when I came into the NBA, we had Adrian Dantley and Daryl Griffith and some pretty stellar players. But when John and Carl came around a couple years later, maybe, you know, 86, 87, things really started shifting as those guys gelled and really became a dynamic duo out there on the court. And what two extraordinary players to play with. I mean, John played 19 years, Carl played 18 years in the NBA. Extraordinary careers, extraordinary numbers, two Hall of Famers, and I got to spend, 8 or 9 years with them.
You know, they always say that the expectation should be an NBA championship. Obviously, that's not always realistic. At what point in time in your career with the Jazz, Mark, did it click and you say, okay, you know what, this is a team that can win a championship?
Well, there was a pivotal playoff series against the Lakers in 1987 that we took them to 7 games in the Western Conference semifinals, I think. And that was really a stepping stone for the team, I think, where we finally started to believe, yes, we could do that. And there was a moment, I believe it was around 91, we played the Trailblazers in the conference finals, and unfortunately one of our players' fathers passed away that series, and he had to leave the team, which I think really hurt our chances because we had beaten the Bulls twice during the regular season, and we took the Blazers to the mat, but ultimately lost. But that year, I felt like, at least the teams that I played on, we had the best chance of really maybe competing and even winning a championship. Unfortunately, it didn't come together. But I think that latter part of the 80s, and then, of course, you know, in the early 90s, the team really became one of the top four or five franchises in the NBA. And then, of course, after a couple of years after I retired, they go to the finals against the Bulls in 97 and 98 and just establish themselves as one of the preeminent teams in the NBA.
You go down as one of the greatest shot blockers in the history of the league, two-time Defensive Player of the Year, three times you were on the All-NBA Defensive First Team, four times you led the league in block shots. Out of those accomplishments I just rattled off, which one is most important to you?
You know, to me, being named to the All-Star team was important because I wasn't voted on by the fans. I was selected by the coaches, which to me was even more valuable to me personally because I was selected by my peers. And to, you know, earn the respect of the other players, the other coaches out there in the league, I think meant as much or more to me than, you know, whether fans liked me or didn't like me or anything like that, because I knew that I was doing a good job of helping my team win, and that's all I was really concerned about.
We're here with former Utah Jazz center Mark Eaton. Mark, as far as block shots, I mean, there are very few that have done what you were able to do on the basketball court. And this is just one of those questions I want to get your opinion on. People always say, who would you like to take that last shot? Would it be Jordan? Would it be Kobe? You know, I'm from the school where I say I would take Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to take that last shot. Kareem actually hit his skyhook to break the all-time scoring record over the top of you. Have we ever seen a shot that was more crisp and more unstoppable than the skyhook?
The skyhook was pretty difficult to stop, I'd have to say. Although having been up close and personal with Michael Jordan and Magic and Larry Bird as well, if those guys determined they were going to take that shot and make it, more than likely it was going in. But of course, day in and day out, the skyhook of Kareem, who is the all-time leading scorer, was rather unstoppable, and that's what the great thing about a hook shot, and unfortunately very few coaches teach it anymore, because executed properly, it is virtually unstoppable.
So with that being said, you rambled off some great players. Again, that golden age of the NBA, in your mind, greatest player you ever played against on the court, who would that be?
Wow, that's a difficult question. I'd probably go with Michael Jordan, simply from the standpoint that every time those guys came into a city to play, it was the other team's biggest game of the year. So a night, you know, the Jazz might go visit the Clippers and there were just, you know, half the stadiums filled up and it's, you know, could be kind of a lackluster game. The Bulls come to town, you know, there's 18,000 screaming fans, the team's all pumped up. And despite that, MJ still had the ability to say, okay, put two guys on me, put three guys on me, and I'll still score 40 points on you. That, to me, was the most impressive thing. If you look at the average level of talent in the NBA, which is rather high, and then you take a couple notches up to go to Michael Jordan, and he did it day in and day out, night after night, year after year, and that's probably the most impressive thing to me.
We're here with former Utah Jazz big man Mark Eaton. Mark, we got to get out for a quick commercial break, but I'd love to transition and talk about today's NBA with you. You have time for one more segment?
Be happy to.
Perfect. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back with Mark Eaton right here on Drive Time Sports.
Hi, this is Ron Barr, host of Sports Byline USA. I just want to remind you that if you want to know what's going on in sports, be sure to check in with Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini. Drive Time Sports digs deep into the local athletic scene, giving you exclusive interviews from coaches and players. Each show consists of special guest interviews and a listener discussion of timely sports topics. Get your local and national daily sports fix weekdays on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM with Drive Time Sports from 4 to 5 and Sports Byline USA from 8 to 11.
This is Jeremy Evans from Utah Jazz. You're listening to KOAL AM 750, Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports. We're going to continue on our conversation with former Utah Jazz All-Star center Mark Eaton. And during that last break, Mark, we talked a little bit about your career playing both with and against some of those all-time greats. So let's transition into today's game. We talked a bit about Michael Jordan. A lot of comparisons today being made between Michael, Kobe, and LeBron. First question, you played against Michael. Is it fair to say that Kobe and LeBron are close to being on that MJ level?
Yeah, I think they're close. You know, do they have the same impact? You know, I don't know. They're great, great players, and and LeBron is an incredible athlete. I've enjoyed watching both of their careers, but you know, I'm probably going to lean back to MJ in terms of my own personal preference.
Let's talk about the current state of the Utah Jazz, Mark. How close do you follow the team? Do you have any involvement as we speak right now?
No, I don't have any involvement with the team right now, and I pay attention. Tyrone Corbin was my teammate, and so I pay attention to what's going on down there, and I think he's doing a good job with the team. He's got a great basketball pedigree, and I know that he can do a good job there for the team. And then you look at a lot of these young players they have this year. I mean, it's kind of an interesting year from the standpoint of we've got some young guys that could really develop this year, and Favors and Cantor, and then Trey Burke when he comes back. I think they've done a nice job of positioning themselves well for the future, and I'm excited to watch the team this year and see who are the guys that are going to really stand out. Now that Jefferson and Millsap are gone, you know, who's going to step it up? Who's going to be the star? You know, Gordon Hayward, now that he's got a couple of years under his belt, is he going to be the go-to guy? Derek Favors gets this new contract last week, and so obviously they're putting a little bit of pressure on his shoulders to say, okay, you know, maybe he's going to be the guy. I mean, he certainly has the physical skills to play and do some incredible basketball. So, you know, it's fun. And then you know, I'm interested to see the new big guy they got from France. His name escapes me at the moment. Who's got the long wingspan that could maybe be a shot blocker and maybe really provide some great quality backup minutes once he understands what he's doing. But it's a fun young team, and I think it's going to provide fans with some interesting basketball to watch this year. And it's a little bit of a chess match to see who's going to shine on a given day.
Are you talking about Rudy Gobert? Is that who you're talking about coming off the bench?
Yeah, Rudy Gobert. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We're here with Mark Eaton, former center for the Utah Jazz. You mentioned some of those young guys, Derek Favors, Gordon Hayward. You know, Gordon, reports are saying he's close to getting that lucrative contract extension to keep him here in Utah for a while. You have Cantor down low. When you look at the basis of this team, and that is assuming that Trey Burke is who we think he is, is this a team that you see competing for an NBA championship 3-4 years down the road?
I think that potential is there. Yeah, they may have to make another move here or there over the next couple of years, but I think from a salary cap perspective and from a flexibility standpoint, the team's in great position to go a few different directions. And I like the fact that they brought in, you know, someone like Richard Jefferson, who's been on those championship teams, who's been around to kind of be that leader in the locker room and balance out the young guys with some veteran leadership a little bit. I think the possibility is there, and we're just going to have to see how it gels. I mean, championship teams are not built in 1 year. It takes time to find the right chemistry and the right combination of people who play well together, who trust each other out there on the court, and are able to take their games to that next level where you've really got that strong chemistry especially at the end of the game when you need to take that last-second shot or make that last-second stand. To come up with the W at the end of the night.
Mark, you have your number 53 retired in the Raptors at Energy Solutions. Whenever you go back, you watch a game or you go to ESA, what does that mean to you to have that 53 hanging up?
It means a lot to me because, as I mentioned earlier, being part of the team as it was built from sort of the ground up when it wasn't well respected, we didn't have the greatest players, we didn't have a lot of fans. To be a part of that cycle of growth, of going from, you know, nowhere to the upper reaches of the NBA, I think, you know, I think is reflected in the retirement of the jersey. It's fun to win all the games and have successful seasons, but for me, looking at the whole journey from beginning to end, it was just a remarkable run and a remarkable time in Jazz history. And I think that's reflected in, you know, not only my jersey being retired, but, you know, AD and Frank and, Griff and some of the others that were a part of that era, as well as John and Carl. And it's just, I think sometimes people forget what it was like back there, and I hope that those jerseys give people a chance to pause and say, wow, you know, it's it's really been an incredible ride, and this is an incredible franchise that's done some amazing things.
The fans here in Utah, they've seen you play. They've seen you in the broadcast booth. What is life like today for Mark Eaton?
Well, today Mark Eaton's involved in a couple of things. I sound like Karl Malone now, talking in the third person. I've spent most of my time doing motivational speaking now. I do a program called The Four Commitments of a Winning Team, and I speak to organizations across the country. I speak about 80 times a year. And so I'm traveling a lot, and that's been great. I do a lot in the construction industry, the labor industry, the safety industry, as well as, you know, sales and insurance and things like that. And then when I'm not doing that, I'm probably out on my horse or skiing. So that's what I do. Still live in the outskirts of Park City and lived up here for close to 30 years now, and, you know, this is home.
Sounds fantastic. Mark, last question before I let you go. If you have to think back on your career, good or bad, is there one moment that maybe replays in your head a little bit more than the rest?
You know, when I think back, I have a tendency to think back to sort of the, you know, a couple of the pivotal moments in our history. For instance, the first year or two when we started beating some of the better teams, the Lakers or the Celtics, when they came to town, and how exciting that was to feel like we knocked off one of the contenders, to making the playoffs for the first time in team history, winning the division for the first time in team history. And then, you know, probably like the All-Star game, I still remember being on the bus and looking around, and here's Kareem and Magic, and I guess Magic didn't play on that team, but Hakeem Olajuwon and some of the other great players that I was with, and thinking, you know, what am I doing out here with these guys? That was an incredible moment for me as well. And then just since then, you know, the appreciation of the fans and the community here in the state of Utah, it's just been a great place to live and be recognized and acknowledged for all those great years. So, yeah, that's what stands out for me.
Well, Mark Eaton, it is definitely a pleasure to have you on the show and talk about your time and hear some of the stories. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to have you on, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Well, you're welcome. Be happy to.
That's former Utah Jazz All-Star center Mark Eaton talking about his playing days and the current NBA picture. Obviously, Mark believes that the Utah Jazz are moving into the right direction. Remember, you can continue to follow the Utah Jazz all season long right here on KOAL. David Locke, Ron Boone, they'll continue to bring you live play-by-play action throughout the regular season. We've got to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to stick with the national sports scene, and we are going to talk some NFL football. Last night, an ugly, ugly Monday night contest. The Giants, however, do earn their first victory of the season. We're going to bring in Jamison Welsh from the OPNation.com. We'll break down Week 7 when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.